Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio.
We're going to start this podcast out differently this time, Tim.
Really?
We're breaking this. Breaking the old routine. Let me just welcome everyone to the Hank Haney Podcast Saturday Strong Edition. No countdown necessary. We're starting. Got a lot of topics. Minnesota Tim, by the way, says he's got a lot of things to talk about, and I've got some stuff to talk about too. Let's talk about the Worldwide Technology Championship at Mayakoba. Man, that's a mouthful right there, Tim.
That is a mouthful.
Can you imagine putting that on your t-shirt or the top of your cap? Worldwide Technology Championship at Mayakoba. Is El Tucan there?
Why don't they just shorten it and say Mayakoba Golf Classic, which is what they've always done?
Yeah, I don't know why. It's because Worldwide Technology has paid a lot of dollars to have a little bit of exposure. And, you know, this wraparound season, we've talked about it many times, that you're not too interested in it. Not a lot of golfers are, but I am.
No, you're not. Just a couple of weeks ago, you were saying how boring the wraparound season was. You can't change your tune every single week.
I said it was a transformation last week, is what I said, down the Bermuda Shorts Classic. I said it was a transformation of the PGA Tour. It went from the PGA Tour to the Corn Ferry Tour. We couldn't even get a full field down there, which is pathetic. Pathetic. We can't get a full field in an event that, I mean, it was restrictive down there, Tim. They probably wouldn't have let you down there with that haircut. No way.
But the week before the Bermuda Championship, I don't remember which event it was, you finally came over to my side and said that the PGA Tour is oversaturated. You said that.
It's because a lot of the names, there are many names that we recognize, and we recognize a lot this week, and Ricky Fowler and Brooks Koepka and Adam, you know, Adam Scott's going to be playing next week down in Houston. I don't know why, but he's going to. There's a lot of names. Sergio Garcia, a lot of names that we recognize. Congratulations to Matthew Wolf. I heard yesterday, I talked to one of the trainers down there that happens to be down in Cancun this week, and he said it was one of the typical coastal events where you get the weather is bad for the morning round, and then the weather turns around and all of a sudden it's beautiful day and guys are just tearing this course up. Matthew Wolf minus 10.
Yeah. 61.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Tough to sustain. But like Hank has always said, in order to finish strong, you got to start strong. And, he sure certainly did there. But I love the wraparound. You know, I love the wraparound. I just didn't like it last week because none of the top players wanted to go to Bermuda, which I think is a shame. I thought they had some type of requirement where every 5 years you had to play in different tournaments. You had to blend in a tournament. That's what they should do, because even though these players are independent contractors, Tim, they're trying to protect their league. They're trying to protect their league by having names that we recognize, faces that we recognize, on the leaderboards, in the tournament, playing on the weekend. That's what we're looking for. We're not looking for some guy to break through. It was great. The Australian guy that broke through last, rookie on the PGA Tour, what's his name, Herbert?
Yeah.
He won last week in the Bermuda Shorts Classic. But, you know, we're looking for names that we can recognize. We're looking for entertainment. But what we really want and what the sponsors want, what the Worldwide Technology wants, is they want Brooks Koepka up there on the leaderboard. They want Sergio Garcia on the leaderboard. They want Jordan Spieth on the leaderboard. Unfortunately, Jordan Spieth's not playing this week, so they're not going to get that. But they want recognizable personalities up there.
Is it possible that Butch Harmon has done it again? So Ricky Fowler, who finished tied for third a few weeks ago in the CJ Cup, finished tied for 44th in the Zozo Championship, so not the greatest finish there, and missed the cut in the Shriners Children Open, opened with a 5-under par in the Mayakoba Golf Classic. And according to reports, Ricky Fowler, thirsty for some resemblance of a golf game, went back to Butch Harmon for a lesson, and now all of a sudden is playing well again. And another player who we're all familiar with, Jordan Spieth, is back in the top 10 of the world golf rankings, of course, after reportedly seeing Butch Harmon for a swing lesson.
Well, that's why he's known as the best. You know, I mean, he's a legend. And
but why? I don't get it. I don't understand why players have no game, and then all of a sudden they see Butch, and then all of a sudden their game's back.
Well, I mean, it's not that simple. That analysis is a little bit simplistic. But here's the a little bit more in depth, digging deeper into the analysis. When a coach has brought a player up through a development phase and seen where that player's miss tends to be, sees what that player's mistakes tend to be, there's nobody that can fix that player like that guy that's helped the player, the coach that has helped the player develop.
But Butch didn't help Jordan Spieth before.
No, but Jordan Spieth was doing a lot of good things, but he was the analysis part, the putting together the plan. That's one of the things that Hank had talked to Tiger about. Tiger, the first thing he asked Hank was, what do you think of my game? He says, I like your game a lot. You got a great game. But he said, but when I see you practicing a lot of good things, but I can't really tell what your game plan is in your practice. You're practicing all these random things that are good things in themselves, but they're not put together in a plan. That's one of the things that the great teachers can do. It's trial and error. It's understanding what small little change can make the player get some confidence in what they're doing. And sometimes it's a big change and it takes a while. But I mean, coaching is not getting great coaches. Yeah, they get training and they use technology, but technology in itself, certification programs, seminars, all that stuff is good. But you can't discount the fact that what makes a coach good is he's been doing it a long time. He's had a great mentor or mentors in his coaching. When he does not make mistakes in establishing a good game plan, that's what the great coaches do.
I'm talking from the outside here, but just from the outside appearance, you mentioned that my analysis was a little too simplistic. But it seems like Butch Harmon is a very simplistic teacher. As Hank says in some other podcasts, Butch Harmon takes what you have and makes it work. He doesn't change what you're already doing and mess you up.
No, but he does. You can't get better results unless you change something. So changing the critical mistake is what is key in helping, as a coach, helping a player do better. Butch Harmon is not known as a method teacher, but he has in his own mind, he has what he thinks is a great swing. But what he does and what he is so great at and why he is the best is that he goes to the core of this is the critical mistake. This is what needs to be fixed. Because when we watch Ricky Fowler, if Ricky Fowler does get on TV this weekend and we watch Ricky Fowler, his swing is going to look pretty much the same. It's not going to look a lot different. Now, Jordan Spieth looked quite a bit different because Jordan Spieth's club was circled up across the line. He dumped the club underneath and he had the right shot and the left shot. He had the two-way miss and he couldn't handle it. So what Butch did, and it looks as though that he had the influence on this. I don't know. It may have been Cameron McCormick, but if it was Cameron McCormick, why did he have to wait for Butch to watch him?
Yeah.
Why couldn't he have fixed him on his own? So Jordan Spieth's club, his swing shape is different. It's long and laid off now, which helps get the club back out in front of the player, though especially players with speed. It helps them deliver that club more consistently. And it's just another example that Butch Harmon is a great, great coach. You know who's going to be the next generation of great coach?
Who's that?
Butch Harmon's son, Claude Harmon. because he's learned from his father. And passing down, learning to teach is a true apprenticeship. You've got to get with a master and you study with that master, just like whether it's painting or cabinet making or putting texture on walls. I mean, it doesn't make any difference. It's a trade that you get with a master. That's the biggest shortcut. I could make a recommendation for any young pro that wants to be a teacher. I would say go work for an established pro in your area that's the best teacher.
Now, Butch Harmon is a great example of how you don't need to get worse before you get better when you see a different instructor.
You don't necessarily have to. There's a lot of players that get better right away, but that's not a sign. Sometimes you got to unravel some mistakes. And sometimes a player, especially when you put that in competition, they can do it on the range. And that's kind of the sequence. Hey, can I understand what the mistake is? Can I make these practice swings to make the mistake go away in my swing? Do I hit the ball on the driving range under most conditions where I can manage and do that new move? And then you take it to the course on practice rounds, and then you take it into competition, then you take it when the heat's on. So that takes time. Now the player knows he's got it way before he can execute it in competition. So I mean, it's not a one size fits all that the great coaches will wave the wand, and all of a sudden you're playing better and you're not really changing anything and you're doing good. And all of a sudden, you know, hey, why did I stray from this path? And I don't know why he strayed anyway, unless Butch said, hey, you know what? I'm getting old. My health is not, I don't know what his health is like. It appears his health is good. But the only way, if I were Ricky Fowler, the only way I would change coaches is that if Butch Harmon says, you know what? I can't do it anymore. That's the only way. Now, players will tell you, Tim, I can never get a hold of the guy. I call him, he never calls me back. Well, if the coach calls you back 9 out of 10 times, right after you call him, most of the time the coach is answering that phone. But if you have to leave a message, 9 out of 10 times that coach is calling you back. The one time you don't call back as a coach, the player says you never call me back, which is just BS. That's a player being, the world revolves around me.
Jordan Spieth made an incredible comeback in the world golf rankings, and it's not something you typically see on the PGA Tour. When a player loses their game, typically you don't see him get it back this quickly and get it back this well. He's back inside the top 10 of the world golf rankings, like I said. Do you see Ricky Fowler making a similar comeback as Jordan Spieth did, or do you just think he's not as good?
I don't think he's as good. He's not as good as Jordan Spieth. I think he has some deep down issues that are preventing him from playing to his potential. I'm not sure what it is. I mean, we go back to Butch Harmon. He said years ago, he said, hey, do you want to be a championship golfer, a world-class golfer, or do you want to be a Kardashian? And I mean, it was obvious that Ricky Fowler thought that the social media, at least aspect of his persona, was as important as winning majors because he spent a lot of time on it. I mean, that's one of the things as a coach that you want a player that has totally bought in, that wants to be the best player in the world. You're not looking as a coach. You're not looking for a player that's the most well-rounded person. You're not looking for a person that is, oh my gosh, you know, he's golf is what he does. It's not who he is. As a coach, you're looking for a guy that is all about golf. That's not necessarily the most healthy psychological position and mental position. But as a coach, you want somebody that is just is obsessed with being a great golfer. And I go back to Ben Hogan, who a lot of the young listeners don't even recognize anymore, but a great golfer. And he was talking back in an interview. You can get this on YouTube, an interview with, gosh, I forget who it was now. Very famous interviewer. But anyway, asked him about this shot that he hit at the U.S. Open. This was like 40 years after this had happened. And Ben Hogan looked in the camera. He says, "Is that a day goes by where that just doesn't rip my gut out that I hit that bad shot?"
Mm.
It just, it means a lot to them. It's as a coach, you want somebody that's all in all the time. So now you talk about Jordan Spieth, and I'm punching up Jordan Spieth here. Before this last year, okay, so 2017 was a big year for Jordan Spieth. He won in Hawaii, he won Pebble Beach. Let's see, where else did he win? He won the Travelers, he won the Open Championship against El Chipo Nogimi. He was, his ranking, doesn't say what his world ranking is here, but he was way up there. And the FEMA may have won the FedEx Cup too, but I don't know. Who knows? That 2017 was a banner year for Jordan Spieth. And then to say that he's turned it around, the 2017 is a long time. That's 5 years ago, 4 years ago. That's a long time.
It is.
He had some lean years here.
Yeah, he was really struggling for a long time. He went 3 years without a win on the PGA Tour.
Yeah. And not only 3 years without a win, he went 3 years without a second place, and he only had 2 third place finishes in small tournaments. He's a guy that does miss cuts. You know, he's missing cuts 5, 3. His best years in not missing cuts was 2016. He only missed 2. Now, 2015 was his 2000. For Tiger Woods, 2000 is the year that they look back at as his baseline is, you know, like, hey, this is the pinnacle. 2015 was the pinnacle for Jordan Spieth. He had 5 tour wins, 4 seconds. I mean, this guy was in the winner's circle almost every week, 1/3. So in 25 tournaments, he was in the top 3 11 times, Tim, winning 5. Made $12 million, number one in the FedEx Cup. Phenomenal year. That was 2015. That was 6 years ago, Tim. It's not like he'd been struggling for a while. Now he's made some money. He's made money on true grit and determination and effort. Now, not a lot of money for his standards. He made $12 million in 2015, 2018, 19, 20. He barely made over $1 million in 2020.
Crazy.
He's 107th on the FedEx Cup. He's had a long road back, and I tell you, it's a well-deserved road. A lot of guys do not make it back like he did. Now, you compare him to Ricky Fowler. We're gonna have to take a break, and I'm gonna punch up Ricky Fowler. And I'm gonna tell you about his career.
Let's get into that next. And then we'll also get into a new rule the PGA Tour has enacted about green reading books. Ooh. And I think it's a big mistake. I think it's a mistake. I think it's ridiculous. I think it is a sign of the PGA Tour not being with the times.
Okay.
So we'll get into all those things next. Everyone go to voodoopainrelief.com right now for a free 2-week supply of Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. This cream will take care of your aches and pains. It's a patented formula. And the reason why Hank gives a free 2-week supply is because he knows you are going to love the product and he knows you are going to reorder the product. Listen to one of Hank's recent podcasts. Hank dislikes businesses that aren't customer friendly. And Hank's businesses are customer friendly. So go to voodoopainrelief.com for a free 2-week supply. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Hank Haney Podcast, Saturday Strong Edition. Steve Johnson here, the great predictor, along with Minnesota Tim Peracka, starting out the show. Man, a robust 19 minutes of conversation back and forth. Me criticizing your hairstyle, you criticizing my analysis. I love it. I love it.
I looked at Rory McIlroy's career, and he hit the reset button several times in his career. And that's what I'm doing on the Hank Haney Podcast. I hit the reset button. I'm finding a newfound motivation. I'm looking myself in the mirror. So that's what I'm doing.
I love that. I love that. You know, and we talked about this off the air earlier. I had to reset my computer. And when I did that, a lot of the old files came up, Tim. The files that had back at the Sirius XM days that had the Steve Johnson Karnak with El Cheapo to Gimme. We had the our tribute to the Caddy, which, I mean, and it's going to, I tell you what, I'm teasing it. We got to talk a little bit about Ricky Fowler versus Jordan Spieth, but the Caddy is going to be, is going to step up and be more important for the PGA Tour player based on your green reading book, Burning the Books. No more green reading books. We'll talk about that in a second, but let's look at Ricky Fowler, Jordan Spieth. Now, the careers, Ricky Fowler's been on the PGA Tour longer than Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth's won 12 times, has 15 seconds, 9 thirds, 73 top tens, played 180 events, top 25, 125 times, made $47 million, full-time player since 2013, okay? 2013. So you look at Ricky Fowler, has been on the tour since 2010. He has 5 wins, 14 seconds, 8 thirds, 74 top tens, 130 top 25s, and has made about $40 million. The thing is, listen, read my lips, Tim. Majors.
Majors.
Yes. No.
I didn't have to read your list because I could hear you.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Ricky Fowler. No majors. I'd like to see him do well because I think that he is back when he was in college and played in the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach 2008. He was a fan favorite. Some guys in the gallery were saying, "Hey, Ricky Fowler is going to win this tournament." I thought, "Who the heck's Ricky Fowler? I've never even heard of Ricky Fowler." Well, I've heard of him now, but he's more famous for commercials and social media than he is for golf. And the kids love him. They like the flat billed cap. But I think he has a ways to go to say that he's back. He hadn't won since 2019. He's had some lean years. He's played in 3 tournaments. He started out pretty well this year, just barely made over $1 million last year, 134th on the FedEx Cup. Not too good, Tim. Not too good.
No,
the best
it's not.
The best he's ever done on the FedEx Cup is coming fourth in 2015 when he won twice.
Hmm.
But he has a ways to go to summit Mount Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, he does. Well, he started the season, I believe, right around 125th in the world golf rankings. And after a third place finish a few weeks ago, he's already climbed to 81st. So it would be remarkable if two players who have lost their games did make it back into relevancy in the world golf rankings. So, Steve, the PGA Tour.
He's still not in the major. He's still not in the Masters. Is that correct? Ricky Fowler?
Yeah, they've got to be in the top. Well, I don't know. They have to be in the top 50 of the world rankings and, I don't know, win an event. I don't know. Maybe a top 5 gets you into the Masters. I'm not sure. But Okay. Anywho, so Steve, the PGA Tour has come out and restricted green reading books on the PGA Tour. And there's a lot of people who love this idea because it brings back the art of putting. Everyone loves to talk about this art of putting. And how green reading needs to go back to the way it used to be. It needs to be a skill set. But Steve, when I hear people talk about going back to the art of putting, why don't we go back to the art of driving, the art of golf balls? Let's go back to persimmon. Let's go back to the old school golf clubs without technology in them. Let's go back to the way golf used to be played without, you know, all this weight on the clubs. We already see so often on the PGA Tour players delivering their hand signals when they putt. Rory McIlroy is one of the leading causes of hand signals on the PGA Tour. And how many other players do we see do that? If you stop green reading books on the PGA Tour, which is what they are doing, they're restricting it to a new level, you are going to see way more hand signals. And another point. Avoiding green reading books and restricting them gives the players that work so hard on the greens before the tournament a huge disadvantage, and players that work less hard, a big time advantage. Because instead of figuring out the configurations of each green and figuring out which way this one breaks and which way that one breaks, which can be valuable information that you can take with you, and you're working for that information, it's not like it's just handed to you, then players that don't work as hard are given a free gift, and I don't like it.
Okay, you lost me there, Tim. You lost me.
Well, that happens.
But okay, so let's say the PGA Tour is an entertainment organization, correct?
Yeah.
It's a competition, but it's for our entertainment. It's for the fans. It's like if I related this to basketball, and you say, "Hey, you know what? We're making too many baskets. We're making way too many baskets. So here's what we're going to do." Back in the day, it was 25-28 was the score, the finish. So what we're going to do is we're going to raise the height of the basket. And we're going to make the radius of the basket smaller, so the ball can barely fit in it. So we're going to change the game. This not allowing the green reading books. I'm on the same page as you. It's not good for the PGA Tour, I don't think. Everybody has an agenda, and the players that don't like the green reading books are probably pretty darn good green readers. But what about the guys that aren't that good at green reading? Let's just level the playing field. Why not? You allow something, then you take it away. Then you allow something, then you take it away. I'm not sure why they're trying to make this game is already the toughest game to play in the world. It's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you want to see putts being rolled in.
Absolutely.
You want to see putts made. You don't want to see people missing putts.
So one of the most boring things is watching a tournament. Golf Channel has played a lot of college golf events lately. And you see these kids knocking up there close and they can't make a putt. It is so boring to watch, especially as much putting as they show when the guy never makes it.
Exactly. You're exactly right. And we want to go watch a tournament where birdies are made. We want the chance at a double bogey. We want the chance at a triple bogey that would ruin a round and ruin a tournament just because it creates that interesting factor. But we want to see putts rolled in. We want to see shots made in basketball. We don't want to watch a 6-3 football game in the NFL. We want to see points. We want to see birdies. We want to see scores. And another part that has crept into this conversation is how green reading books, avoiding them and restricting them, will speed up the game of golf, will speed up slow play. And from the outside looking in, I completely disagree with that statement, because instead of looking at the green reading book, seeing how it breaks, they're going to just read the putt a lot longer than they would if they just had the green reading book telling them which way it would go. Do you agree or disagree with that statement?
I agree. I think that the pace of play, when you go and you watch a PGA Tour event, I mean, they're playing 18 holes in about between 3:45 and 4.5 hours. I mean, that's a pretty quick round of golf. I mean, if most golfers played at that pace in a regular recreational, the game would be a lot more fun. You get out there and it's 5-6 hours. That never happens on the PGA Tour. It just doesn't happen. These guys, they know how to play the game. I don't think it's not going to speed up, nor is it going to slow down the game having the green reading books or without the books. It's just, I don't understand why you're trying to make the game as an administrator to the league. Why wouldn't you be in favor of everything that makes the players look better? I mean, why are we trying to make the game look so much more difficult when it's already the most difficult sport to play? I don't understand.
Yeah. It says right here in the memo, the purpose of this local rule is to return to a position where players and caddies use only their skill, judgment, and feel, along with any information gained through experience, preparation, and practice to read the line of play on the putting green. Books from 2021 and prior will no longer be accepted, as well as devices, levels, or other technology. So I don't know. It really just rubs me the wrong way. And I think the PGA Tour is completely showing a double standard here because of all the technology that they allow in golf clubs and other devices. So, but anyway, let's take our second break. I'm fired up about it. I need to ask the Great Predictor a couple of questions coming in the third segment.
Okay. Can we talk a little Brooks Koepka too? In the third segment, little Brooks.
What did Brooks Koepka do? What did
he do? I'll let you know.
Okay. Okay.
I tweeted about him.
Actually, you tweeted about him.
I tweeted to him.
You tweeted to him, really?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Wow, that's a great tease. All right, I need it. I have not seen this tweet, but that's what we'll get into when we come back. So everyone, go to HaneyUniversity.com, and right now you can sign up for a golf lesson from Hank. Hank is coming back in November. Well, it is November. Hank is back. Well, I don't know when he's back, but he's back sometime in November. So go to HaneyUniversity.com and sign up for one of Hank's golf lessons, and you can improve your game. We'll be right back.
Okay, Saturday Strong here, Hank Haney Podcast. Steve Johnson, Minnesota Tim Parachka. And Tim, I am not a prolific. I would not win any player incentive points, or what is it, player influencer points, the PIP. I would not win any of that because I'm not a player, first of all. And secondly, I don't tweet that much. But I got drawn in this week. One of the guys that follows the show, and Hank and myself, reacted to a tweet from Brooks Koepka. And here's what Brooks Koepka says. I'm a range rat. I'll sit on the range all day. I'm healthy now so I can practice and do everything I want to do. We've just been grinding, man, is what he says. That's what he says. So one of our followers says, hey, I thought he said he didn't practice. I thought he said he didn't want to, he didn't like practicing. So I responded to him. I said, as if FB Koepka, PGA, is practicing like he says he is, we'll see it in the results.
Yeah, it's a good point.
We'll see the results, you know? Yeah. So I started looking at Brooks Koepka to see how he'd been doing. And, you know, just we're talking about heydays for players. And Jordan Spieth, obviously, was 2015. He won five times, $12 million, plus his FedEx Cup victory. Yeah, the guy won so much cash. It's crazy. But he battled back. 2018 was in 19 were Brooks Koepka's heyday. He won twice in 18. He won three times in 2019. And I look back at his stats because I'm thinking, I thought Brooks Koepka was known as a good ball striker. What's he on the range all day, every day for? Why is he a range rat? And so I look at his stats. In 2018, he was ninth off the tee, 65th approach. His tee to green, he was 19th. His putting, he was 68th, and around the green, 56th. So then I look at 2019, which is another little heyday for Brooks Koepka. Off the tee, he was right around the top 20, top 21, approached the green 11, around the green 92nd, he'd slipped a little bit. Putting 48th, tee to green 12th. And now I look, I'm thinking, okay, his worst stats, Tim, in his heyday were around the green and putting. Those are his worst stats. So now I look at 2020. This is a year that he was injured. You know, I know he was injured. You know he was injured. He was complaining. His around the green and putting stats were terrible. He was 144th in putting in 2020. Now in 2021, he was still, putting was his worst. Off the tee, he was seventh. Tee to green, he was 11th total. So I'm thinking, okay, this guy claims that he's a range rat. And I'm not sure if he means that he's on the range all the time. Maybe it just means that he loves practicing. But it seems to me that if I were Brooks Koepka and I was looking at getting back, I'd try to improve my putting and short game. He's 66th last year on the PGA Tour in strokes gained putting. This year, he is 152nd. He's only played a few events, but his stats are not looking good right now. He's even par at the world, what is it, technology championship of the world in Mayakoba. That's what he is. He's even par. He looks like he's going to miss the cut here, but he may have gotten a bad tee time. But I'm thinking, if I'm Brooks Koepka, I'm on the putting green. I'm practicing my putting. Now, he does have a good teacher, Claude Harmon III, Butch Harmon's son. He's developed, like I said, a golf coach should develop through a master. His father is definitely a master. Brooks Koepka loves the attention, I think. I mean, I think that he throws stuff out there to get the attention. Remember when he showed his rear end in a little thong? Remember that?
Yeah, he went from that. One of your most hated players. You have really disliked him for a while. And now you said he's one of he's one of your favorite players.
Well, the thing is that he does tell it like it is. There's some things that I forget what turned me around on him. He had a comment.
The Bryson comment.
No, it wasn't the Bryson comment. It was something.
Yeah,
else.
It was. Yeah. It was
really?
The Bryson one.
Really?
Okay. I think so.
Okay. Well,
I guess you would know more than I would, but I'm pretty sure it was the Bryson comment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, now we know the ulterior motive is to get the PIP points and to make the $8 million. Now, a lot of shows have talked about this PIP. It's one of the greatest secrets in sport is who's went in, who's, have they distributed the money already? $40 million. They've had some analysts come out and say, okay, this is who I think should get it. Tiger Woods obviously is the biggest name in the sport. It was funny because one of the lists left Bryson DeChambeau off. And I think Bryson DeChambeau is a guy that brings a lot of attention to golf just by his innovation, his rebuilding himself, his desire to be the best he can be. And whether that takes him, the changes he's making is taking him down a dead end path or not, we'll see. But it looks like, he's bombing it. He's hitting bombs.
Yeah. I personally like your tweet to Rafael Nadal better than your tweet to Brooks Koepka. You said, great predictor one, you tagged yourself in this tweet and you said, I can help you play better golf as you turn on backswing, set the club above your right shoulder.
Well, he had genius. One of the flattest swings I've ever seen. Did you see his swing?
Yeah, I see it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. He needs a lesson. Yeah, he could do better than that.
And then your tweet to Dan Rappaport, a golf journalist, he says, is this the sexiest ball flight in modern history? I think this is the sexiest flight in modern history. And you replied to that tweet, and it's a European Tour player. You said, a player who is limited to low ball flight is always apt to hit the foul ball. This player is in 85th place. Sexy gets the weekend off.
Yes, yes.
Look at yes. You're just getting into it on Twitter.
Well, I mean, I got to be careful because if we get carried away on Twitter, it's not necessarily anonymous, but it's like talking to someone on the phone. You can be a badass on the phone, but when you get face to face, I mean, and I've often thought that when I'd go to tournaments and I thought, oh my God, I wonder if Brooks Koepka is going to kick my ass this week. but I try to be fair. I mean, I do. There are some things that Brooks does that I like. I like the fact that, he's a no nonsense type guy. He comes across as a little bit of a meathead. He's not a brainiac, but I hope he does well. I hope he gets on the putting green rather than just hanging out on the driving range all the time, because he's 152nd in putting right now and strokes gained. His stats are not looking too good. Now, Hank would say this guy needs a total rebuild because of his numbers, but the numbers tell a partial story. If he's healthy, which he's made claims that he was healthy before and he wasn't, remember that? I mean, he's come out, oh, I'm fine. I'm 100%. I'm good. And then you see him laying on the ground, and the trainer coming out there and stretching him out because he is hurt. Said he got a little bit hurt when he was in who's he playing with at the PGA, and some guy tried to take his knee out.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So
I got a quick question for you to wrap up the podcast. So,
okay.
There was this NFL player who was not on a current team, and his name was Blake Bortles. And he's playing one of the best rounds of his life on a golf course. It says here, former Jaguars legend Blake Bortles was even through seven holes at Pontevedra's Ocean Course this morning. So he's playing a great round of golf. And then the Green Bay Packers come calling. Aaron Rodgers is out with COVID-19 because he is unvaccinated. He called himself immunized, but he was not vaccinated. So Bortles leaves the round of golf and then goes and signs with the Green Bay Packers since he was on their team in the preseason, since the Packers need a backup quarterback this weekend and Aaron Rodgers will not be available. So my question for you, Steve, is this. You're playing one of the best rounds of your life. You're striking shots. You're making putts. And you get a phone call saying, hey, we need you here right now. Outside, let's say, the birth of your child, what would you leave the golf course to go accomplish?
Oh, man. I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, you think unexpected things. This guy's an athlete. Can you imagine how painful it was for him? He would rather be in a locker room right now or on the sidelines waiting to go in. But he's on the golf course. He's trying to pacify his depression because he's not in the NFL. I mean, to be in the NFL, to be a part of that big show is a big deal. And I don't think even if he was going to shoot a 59, he would have gotten the hell out of there and said, hey, I'm going to go put the green helmet on and I'm going to be, or the yellow helmet or whatever color it is. And I'm going to go freeze my tuchus off because I'm going to go to Green Bay.
But he's going to get cut after 1 week when Rodgers returns.
Well, that's okay. That's okay.
He'll have that scorecard forever.
Oh, come on, Tim. Tim. Now, if they told you that you're talking to me right now, we're doing a podcast, and the phone rings, and it's Jim Nance, and he says, hey, you know what, Tim, we've seen your work with a great predictor on the Hank Haney podcast. We want you to come produce. Our producer is out this week. He's got blisters on his hand, and we need you to fill in for him. Would you be interested in coming in a week? You know what? This podcast would be over, and this one is over. Tell our listeners what to do.
I would stay on this podcast.
Bullshit.
Because I am a dedicated, dedicated producer and host who would do this podcast for free. Thank the Lord I don't have to anymore.
Tim, you're a liar, Tim. Quit lying.
I'm a dedicated man.
Okay, if that phone rang and it was Jim Nance, let's hear it.
I'd say bombs, Jim.
Hit bombs.
I'd say Jim.
Use a flag stick. This podcast would be over. This podcast is over because you're going to go help Tony Romo's and Jim Nance with their podcast.
And I'll be back next Friday.
Okay. Very good.
The Hank Haney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.